Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to More Power's very first four-way video objection. I'm the editor-in-chief judge, and I'm here with Fenrir, Starshine, and Silverwolf, and we're gonna debate the Les Miserables movie that just came out with Hugh Jackman. And so, Starshine and I will be taking the why it was a bad side, and Fenrir and Silverwolf will be defending it, saying why it's a great movie. So why doesn't Team Fenrir Silverwolf start off giving their overall first impressions of the film?
All right, you can start, Fenrir, since I usually tend to talk way too much.
Okay. As a fan of the musical, I thought the film was a pretty good condensed version of it to appeal to a mass audience. And I was actually very impressed with the way the actors handled something that is incredibly depressing. So that's what made me very happy about it.
Yeah, I guess I'll echo Fenrir a little bit in that. I am also a big fan of the musical, and I have been for practically my whole life. It was the first musical I ever saw, and so it holds a special place for me. And because of that, I was happy that the film was such a great adaptation, and it really lived up and even exceeded most of the expectations I had.
Okay, fair enough. And I guess Starshine, since you and I are on our own tag team, I'll let you begin to say why this doesn't work as this is not a good film.
Well, I agree with Fenrir and Silverwolf that it is a really good adaptation of the stage musical. The problem is it's too good an adaptation, and the staging is just completely wrong. The shots are mixed up and terrible, and I really think that they recorded it like it was still on a stage instead of on a giant set.
Okay, I'll echo her sentiments in the fact that I felt it was more suited for the stage. Like everyone here is a consensus that loves the musical, but I just felt it wasn't really an actual film. It doesn't really work as a film. I was like, I imagined myself sitting in like Broadway watching this rather than sitting in a theater watching it. So I just think it didn't work as a film pretty much. That was my main gripe, along with the singing, but we'll get to that later. So I think like the way we're gonna do this, ladies and gentlemen, is we're gonna do point by point, like positive and then a rebuttal to that extent. So I think I'll let Team Pro, Team Fenrir, Silverwolf, start off with a point they would like to address, and then Starshine and I can rebut that, so or argue it or object it or whatever. So
About a butt that you already made.
yeah, exactly. So I don't know, where do you want to begin in
Well, I want
terms?
to begin actually with the way that it was filmed because,
Okay.
okay, so the extreme close-ups I thought were actually a not ma maybe it wasn't done as well as it should have been, but it was a new way of approaching it because when you're watching a stage production, you actually don't get to see the way the actors are looking because you're probably unlucky enough to sit in the way back. So, what the difference between a stage and a film for me is you have to see their expressions. You have to see the way they're like emoting something rather than the way they're singing it. And I'm probably gonna eat my words because I did hate the way that Russell Crowe sang. That's another story. But again, because you're actually looking at them instead of, say, stuck in the way back trying to hear them, you're also concerned with their body language, and that's what the close-ups did, because you don't get to see as much as you hear in an actual stage setting. So that's what the film like transcended for me.
Okay, Starshine, would you like to take that point on, or would you like me
Yeah,
to?
I'm gonna
Okay,
go
go
first.
ahead.
I think we can all agree that Russell Crowe is terrible and should never sing ever again. He done. He done. I will say that it was interesting to be able to see the close-ups and when they recorded this, it was sung live during the actual shooting of the film, which is interesting. My problem, and I think it's best exemplified if for those who've seen the movie, during I believe it's Fantine's scene with I've Dreamed a Dream, when she just sits there and just sings and is crying, and it's beautiful and great, but the problem is this is also a movie. And you're just sort of sitting there while she sings the entire song, you're looking at her, and yes, Anne Hathaway's great, she sings fantastically, she's has powerful emoting abilities, and I really felt for her, but I was also sitting there like, okay, like maybe a shot of her dreams being destroyed or like a little change in something. It just felt that we just kept zooming in on her face and the movie just stopped dead for 2 minutes. And that's just not how really, I mean, even musical movies is not usually how it's made. And so the approach was, had, you know, good intentions behind it. It just didn't really work.
Okay. I mean, do you want to say something real quick, Silverwolf, to that? Or
yeah, actually, I disagree with you 100%. I've probably heard the song I Dreamed a Dream 100 times, probably more. That's no exaggeration. And it never touched me at all. I'll be honest. You can call me a cold-hearted bastard. Until I saw the movie. And I thought the fact that it didn't need to show anything else. It was just showing that this is the woman. She's been stripped down to literally nothing. She's lost absolutely everything and her life is in shambles. And just seeing her alone, you can see in her face, even in her like subtle movements, that she has been crushed. And I actually thought that was one of the best scenes in the movie. It was perfectly done, in my opinion. And it's, you know, Les Mis is a very grand story. You know, there's huge battles, huge sets, all that. So for something to be kind of pared down to just one person, I thought was a really great way to portray that scene.
Okay. I mean, I actually am going to agree with Silverwolf in the fact that I found that scene to be perfectly fine. I just felt that Anne Hathaway's performance was by far the strongest. So I had no problem with, you know, just focusing on her. I got to really see, as Fenrir said, you know, her raw emotions, you know, her body language really well. But for the rest of the movie, it was really jarring for me to just kind of stare at a character's face for like 5 minute stretches, and then it immediately switches to another character's face for 5 minute stretches. And I don't know if it was just me, but I felt the camera was really shaky, even when they were zoomed up. Like, I got a little dizzy at certain parts, just like, it was going like the camera was shaking like this while the guy was singing or like doing a dialogue, and then it would immediately switch to someone else and the camera would also shake a little bit. So, I mean, except for that Anne Hathaway scene, which I agree with Silverwolf that it was fantastic, I'm going to agree with my partner in crime, Starshine, that it didn't work overall for me. The rest of the film, I felt it was just too jarring for me. It was just, I couldn't really absorb the rest of the setting or the scenery. I just like, okay, I'm staring at this guy's face. I'm staring at Russell Crowe's face, and I'm staring at Hugh Jackman's face. Now, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen's face. You know, it's just like one face to another face to another face. So that's just my opinion. But again, this is, you know, an objection, and this is why we do these things. So, I mean, I think we've made our point very clear on the camera issue. So, What do you think is a good point to object on next?
Well, I also wanted to bring up something about the staging. The staging was very strange. You have these really big, beautiful, elaborate sets of you know, France during the Revolution and all these beautiful, and then all these people do is just walk back and forth, back and like the Hugh Jackman scene in the beginning when he's in the church, back and forth, and it just feels like such a limitation of movement that it really felt like it was. I don't know if they were going for, you know, we're on a stage sort of effect, but it just felt at times really cramped. And at the end, with the big scene at the end with everyone singing, it just felt so grandiose and amazing. I was like, why couldn't the movie have been more like that?
Well, because they're dead and they're in heaven, Sarah.
Heaven is awesome.
Okay, I mean,
it felt cramped, and I wondered, you know, what if it was an effect they were going for, or if they just badly staged it.
I mean, Angelie or Brett, would either of you like to respond to that at all, in terms of the staging of the film?
Yeah, I can take it. I would counter that there were plenty of scenes where there was a lot of movement. The confrontation, which in the actual play is pretty much just two guys standing and yelling at each other, they turned it into more of like an actual fight, you know, between the two of them, not just of words, but like a physical fight, which makes a lot more sense because, you know, Jean Valjean just not just going to stand there and go, oh, hey, Javert, nice to see you. You're a jerk. And like, you know, and just not do anything. He's going to try to, you know, kick this guy's ass who's been hounding him for the better part of 2 decades. So I thought that was really well done. There was a lot of movement in, you know, the master of the house scene, which was another one of my favorite scenes, with all the, you know, the little tricks that Sacha Baron Cohen and Helena Bonham Carter were doing. That was, you know, great. I mean, yeah, there were some scenes, I'll admit, like Hugh Jackman being in the church and just moving, but I think that was intentional not to show that it was on a stage, but for the kind of emotion behind it. You know, he's a guy and he's repenting and he's considering his life. When you're doing that, you're not going to like dance and sing. You're going to kind of pace back and forth and think about your life. So I had no problem really with the staging.
I mean, because you have to remember some of these songs are monologue songs because this is a bit of an opera-ish kind of thing going on. So when it comes to those monologue songs where they just kind of focus on the single person just singing, it works because this is them monologuing. Like, what do you want them to, like, Hugh Jackman is not going to prance about the entire cathedral while he is thinking about, oh my God, what do I do next? Like, in the same with Russell Crowe with Stars, he's not going to, like, do this sweeping montage of several scenes of him singing Stars. It's going to be him pacing and actually looking at stars.
I mean, there's a difference between pacing and just watching a character pace, and then pacing in, like, what feels like a very linear sort of corridor. And I also felt that way during the part where Javert and Jean Valjean, when Javert gets caught, and, you know, sort of the smallness, I think that was an interesting way to do it, but the smallness of behind the barrier where they're having their, like, final confrontation and Jean Valjean lets him go, I felt it just felt very sort of cramped.
I'm gonna piggyback off you, and I will say Fenrir's got a great point about some of the monologues, like I Dreamed a Dream, when Hugh Jackman's in the Church of the Start, when Javert, you know, he's doing his thing on the roof and whatnot, and I felt those monologues, you know, yeah, they did suit, like, you know, there I didn't really need a sense of space or a sense of, like, setting. I just, you know, I, like I said, like, harkening back to the just the camera thing, like, those kind of monologues work for me. But it's just funny, like, I really didn't, nothing was really memorable about the staging and the setting. Like, the most memorable thing was Sacha Baron Cohen and Helena Bonham Carter, because there's a lot of movement, a lot of bright colors, a lot of things happening. So I was able to remember that, but I wasn't really, like, the part where Javert and Hugh Jackman, I mean, Jean Valjean in the back in the corridor, I mean, it went in their last confrontation, it just felt, it didn't feel right. Like, I mean, there was a lot of things, like, didn't they go, it really felt restricted. I agree with you, Starshine. It's just like, okay, he pretends to kill Javert, no one's gonna go check if there's a body there. Like, you know, it's just like, he shoots the gun and everyone's like, okay, it's done, he's walking back. It just felt really small. Like, I didn't really, like, I wasn't very impressed with the staging, except for the in scene when, you know, when they're doing their fancy stealing all the stuff. So that's just my two cents about the whole staging. So I don't know. I don't know what you two feel about what I just said, but
I mean,
if there's anything you want to say real quick. So.
Well, if you're actually watching it on stage, you're going to be underwhelmed too, because they have their own limitations on a stage. At least with the film, they explain how things work a little more than, here's these two guys, and I'm just going to pretend to shoot, and you're going to run off.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course, like, the stage is going to be limited, but that's the point. We're talking about a film here, as, you know, Starshine and I said at the start. It doesn't really work as a film, per se. This is a film at the end of the day. It's not a stage musical. So, you know, when I'm watching a film, I want to be a little bit more, you know, involved in terms of setting and staging, rather than just, you know, a corridor or, you know, a back part of a ship or, you know, some little tavern where they're holding up their barricade. That's just me. So
I mean, it is a story about people. Like, first okay. and foremost, it's about them kind of having crappy ass lives. So I think that was the second consideration.
I mean, that's very fair. I think, like, and unless anyone else wants to, like, interject something, I think we can move on to something else, if that's okay.
Yeah, let's move on to another topic.
Okay, I think, like, the next big topic, I think we have to address the singing. There's no way around it. We have to address the singing in some way. If you would like to start off, Silverwolf, be my guest, so.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll say this first and foremost, Russell Crowe's performance was god-awful.
Yep.
There's no other way to describe it. Javert is my favorite character. He looks like Javert. He acts like Javert. He sings like, I don't know what to call it, like a dying cat. You know, it was just, it was terrible. I actually dreaded scenes where he was singing. because of just how badly he butchered the thing. He was passable in the confrontation, and he was passable in Stars, and in everything else, he was just terrible. But other than that, I thought the scene was very well done. I thought definitely Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway had no real problems, in my opinion. They just were on point the whole time. And similarly, I thought that I can't remember her name now, but she was the one who played Eponine. She was really good. I mean, she played it in the
Banks.
Yeah, Banks.
Was yeah, awesome. Yeah, she was quite good. I mean, she done it in the stage production, so she was, you know, very, very exceptional. I don't have much opinion on what's her name, Amanda Seyfried. I mean, she didn't sing that much. I thought she was okay, but I honestly don't have much opinion. I don't like her anyway, so that's that. I thought Sacha Baron Cohen, for a guy with no singing experience, really did a good job too. So
he actually was in Sweeney Todd, and he sang.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I know that.
Like,
Carter was in that.
Yeah, they were both in that. Helena Bonham Carter and Sacha Baron Cohen. I didn't really take Sacha Baron Cohen singing that serious. I was just like, oh, he's being Sacha Baron Cohen. He's just kind of like, you know, humming along and doing that. I think the main point was for humor. Mm-hmm. And he really nailed that. Yeah. Like we've all said a million times already, Russell Crowe is awful. I remember the opus, the opening. When he first opened his mouth, I was in a packed theater actually 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And when he first started singing, half the crowd just like couldn't help but give a big chuckle. They're like, oh my God, this is what we're going to expect the rest of the movie. Oh my goodness. And like my uncle who I watched it with, who's a classically trained, he has classically trained ear. He's just like, he cringed. He's just, oh my goodness, this is just cringeworthy, for lack of a better word. I will agree, like, Hugh Jackman, we all know, has musical training backgrounds. Like, he's been in stage musicals. He sang when he hosted the Academy Awards. So I knew he had a singing background. Anne Hathaway was fantastic. I really have no opinion about Eponine or Cosette. They were very minimal roles. I thought Marius, though, was also a little cringeworthy. I mean, I really didn't think the actor actually fit the role anyways. I thought the other friends, his comrade in arms, would have been a better Marius, but that's just me.
Yeah, Aaron Teviot, or however you say his awesome name.
I don't know. Yeah. Eddie Redmayne. I don't know.
Was that the Grand Terre?
What's that?
Or Voltaire?
Yeah, he was.
Okay. Sorry.
He's a classically trained Broadway musical star, so I was actually kind of hoping he'd be Marius, but oh well.
Okay,
I hate Marius.
Eddie Redmayne is he did a pretty okay job with A Heart Full of Love, with the whole oh my god awkward stutteringness. I was like, okay, you're okay, you're like, congrats on your face, you're okay to look at, but you know, There were some casting choices that made me upset. Like, I was with a bunch of musical kids who are in theater and stuff. And when, I don't know if anyone remembers, the Cannon guy came out. The guy who's like, you at the barricade, listen to me. Like, when he sang.
Oh, all, yeah, him.
I weren't you, Javert. He had, because the problem with Russell Crowe is he can, I don't know, he can, like, you know, change his tones and stuff, but he doesn't have power. So we have a Javert who's kind of wimpy. Like, he's like.
And I mean, the thing is, I remember Amanda Seyfried was in Mamma Mia, and she was like, she was the least worst of the bad, which is not saying much considering that they had Pierce Brosnan singing and Colin Firth. Yeah, that was terrible, but she got better. She hit those notes pretty well, considering that she's not really classically trained in any sense of the word. I was actually underwhelmed by Hugh Jackman, which is actually really sad because I love Hugh Jackman. Like, I'm Hugh Jackman fangirl number one. I basically see anything he's in, but I don't know. He felt, maybe because he did so much singing, I just kind of got tired, like, come on, keep going, like, yeah, scene, watching him sleep, whatever, let's, come on, Hugh Jackman, I got somewhere to be. But Anne Hathaway, like, bar none, best singer of that entire movie.
However you feel about Anne Hathaway, you can't argue that she was terrible. She was amazing. Like,
also, I kind of wish that Lea Salonga was Eponine. That would have been cool. I would like that better.
She's too old for that role.
Makeup. We can do it with makeup.
No, but she's played Fantine. She's already, like, way too old for that.
I can dream, damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, since I'm taking the film was not very good side, like, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't really, impressed just overall by the singing. Like, I thought Hugh Jackman was fine, Starshine. I didn't really, maybe towards the end, I was just like, okay, maybe this is enough. Maybe, it ran 10 minutes too long. I don't really know, but like the overall, I heard a lot of people exiting theaters saying, "Oh, the singing wasn't that great." I mean, it was kind of a letdown. Maybe they were that image of Russell Crowe singing at the start just stuck with them throughout the rest of the movie. But just some of it felt a little awkward when they were trying to like just speak regular dialogue and they were trying to give it like a, you know, a you know, what, I can't think of the word, but when they're trying to sing in dialogue form, it
Yeah,
just
they did this weird thing where they kept it in the opera form, but then they also didn't. Like, they would flip-flop.
Yeah, it just was a little jarring, and I was like, well, I was just like slightly confused. Why did they make this section regular speak, and then they switch right back to singing? And I don't know. There were just a few times where I had a little hard time understanding what they were saying sometimes, like because,
Yeah.
when like Eponine was dying and she was trying to like sing dialogue, I was just like, what was that
Yeah.
last word she said? I can't really make it out.
Make the
So,
flowers bloom.
yeah, I don't know. That's just my opinion. So, like, I mean, I've heard the musical, so I knew what she's saying, but in this movie, I can't hear what she's necessarily saying. So, if you want to respond to that, be my guest. I'd love to hear more opinions on this film, so or the singing, I should say. So, unless there's something else you want to switch to that we can end on, that would be great too. Or if you want to keep on the singing, that's fine by me too. Any thoughts?
I will say though that because it's film, it did clarify things. Like, I don't think a lot of people know that much about the revolution after the French Revolution. So, like, there's that one song about Lamarck, and no one will, like, if you miss that one line about Lamarck speaks for the people, you have no idea why anyone cares. But because it's a film, they showed, okay, we're all protesting and we're all rallying at this guy's house and he must be important somehow. So the thing is, if you miss a line, you still have visual cues, which you can't get with a stage production where you're just kind of marching along. So that's something that the film was good about, clarifying things. And also the whole, how did they get away from Javert for 8 or 10 years? They hid in a convent and, it's like, woo, now we know. So that was a good thing.
They
Movie.
clarified a lot of things. I would have to agree with that. Especially one scene that always bothered me in the musical is when Fantine gets fired, like,
Yeah.
Jean Valjean comes in and he's like, "Oh, stop these two women from fighting. Okay, bye." And then the foreman just fires her, right? And there's no real reason for him to leave, but at least in the movie they like showed Javert up, and so he's like, "Oh shit, I better take care of this because, I don't want to
Okay.
go back to jail."
That's a very fair point, and I will say, yeah, that's a very fair point, in terms of clarifying things. Although, like, I wasn't overly impressed with the, as we said earlier, the setting and stuff. Those little cues, visual cues, did give you a sense. Like, you see Javert staring out the window, looking down into the factory, and then you see the, Valjean's face kind of like lose a little color, and he says, "Oh shit, he's found me. He's found me. I gotta get out. I gotta get the hell out of here." And then, so yeah, I agree there. I can't really argue that. So
I think sort of as my ending point, I would say that the Les Mis movie does what it needs to do to sort of impress. It's a great step forward in what I hope will be, sort of the evolution of the movie musical as we get more technical, get better special effects, better, definition quality, just like the way the high frame rate it was for The Hobbit. It's a good step forward. It didn't stick the landing per se, especially in my opinion. I thought, it was okay. The singing was good. Not a great movie in terms of what a movie is, but I did enjoy it to an extent. And I think if we take what the work that this movie has done in terms of what it will have repercussions on for movies, with musicals made later on, I think it has merit in that. But as a film, I wasn't loving it as much as I'd hoped I would.
I have to agree with the first part about how this is going to set a precedent for musical films in the future. I think there's going to be more of an effort to actually get people who can sing, I think, after this, because that's the main complaint that people have noticed. But I also think that in terms of the Les Mis, like, all the adaptations of the LOL anime, of the, you know, the 1998 movie, and even those little mini productions that you see once in a while, I think it's a pretty good way to say, look, if you didn't get into the craze of Les Mis way back when, watch this and you'll understand why people love it to an extent. Like, it does what it has to do. And I mean, for musical junkies, there might be some bumpy roads, but if you take people who haven't seen it on stage or haven't heard it, they will at least feel something from either Anne Hathaway's I Dreamed a Dream, or even, you know, their rendition of Do You Hear the People Sing was like spot on. So things like that can move people. I mean, we can all have a laugh at Russell Crowe, but overall, I think it's a good addition.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the right step in the right direction for kind of like, you know, not maybe, you know, redefining the genre of a movie musical, and like testing, and as like with The Hobbit, as Starshine said, testing out the higher frame rate and stuff like that, which I didn't like, but that's a different subject. But, you know, it's the right step. Just like genres always need a kind of kick in the butt to maybe spur it in a new direction, because they get a little stale and a little old, and I think this can do it. I agree with everything Starshine said and her, you know, ending. You know, I just echo all her opinions. So, yeah, hopefully it does. Like, just like with MMOs, like Guild Wars 2, which I didn't like, but it tried redefining the genre. So, I mean, these are all these things that are coming out recently are just trying to, you know, kickstart things. And I think it creates ideas and it gets people thinking. And as I will also agree with what Fenrir says, if you've never, you know, heard of Les Mis, or you never got caught up in the craze, you should, I know a lot of critics have said you should just see Les Mis just for Anne Hathaway, if nothing else. So, I mean, but it's a good kind of launching point to see, okay, so this is what it's about. This is about some dude who has a bunch of tragedy in his life and yada, yada, yada. So it's a good launching point, I think. So Wolf?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how to close out. Everyone's made really good points, and I don't know. I feel like I've really said my piece that I do love this movie, and I think it's the best adaptation of a musical I've ever seen on film, at least personally. And for something that's stayed with me this long in my life, you know, I listened to the Les Mis tape when I was like 4 years old in the car. So this really was a big thing for me to like kind of culminate in this amazing movie that, as I said earlier, really exceeded all my expectations. So I would just close out by saying everyone should give it a shot. It's good. Even if you don't end up liking it, just give it a chance.
Everyone at least needs to see it before they can have an opinion on it. So you can like see like say it like that. Like, yeah. You know, you need to at least see it to, you know, get your own opinion on it. So, and I will say a disclaimer, like, if people who are not familiar with Les Mis, it was not originally a musical. I don't want people getting the wrong idea. It's based off a book.
Yes, it was a book.
It's a book first, and it got adapted to a musical and films and stuff. So it's not an originally musical. It is originally a book. That's just a small disclaimer. I don't want people running.
It's a long book.
Yeah.
It's a very long and depressing book.
Yeah, we all four of us agreed we're not going to bring the book into this, but just for people who don't know what this series is, it is not originally a musical. It is originally a book. So, I think that's a great ending. And, you know, we've all made fair points. So it's up, I guess, for the audience to decide, or our fellow writers to decide who came out on top. So we're all very competitive.
I think it was Team Wolfpack.
Team Wolfpack. That's what it's called. Okay.
We won. Me and Judge won. Just admit it. Just admit it.
Nope. Think so.
I think everyone made fair points. I think it was very, very, very productive.
No more fic for you, Sarah.
So mean.
All right, awesome. So we'll see you guys hopefully soon on whatever our next objection is. So yep.
See ya.
See ya.
All right. That